First are some public hearings. The first public hearing, number one, is concerning an application for Office of Community and Rural Affairs potential grant to help us pay for the phosphorus removal system in our wastewater improvements. Michelle Carrico is here from SIDC to, I guess, to talk about or answer any questions, right?
We're here to do the public hearing.
Yeah, go ahead.
As the mayor stated, I'm Michelle Carrico, I'm with SIDC. SIDC is assisting the city with applying to Office of Community and Rural Affairs for a grant application for wastewater improvements. And this time I need to state a few things. I'm also going to start another sign-in sheet around for a public hearing, so I'll start it with you guys first. Thank you. We need to state, it is September 23rd, 2019. It's approximately 6:30 here at the City Council Chambers. The meeting was advertised in the Washington Times Herald on September the 10th, 2019. Can everyone hear me okay? The purpose of the meeting is to provide citizens the opportunity to express their views and comments on community development and housing needs in a proposed project, which consists of wastewater system improvements to the City of Washington wastewater system. The proposed project will demolish the existing maintenance building at the wastewater treatment plant and allow for construction of a new office lab building to allow Washington to meet the requirements of its current NPDES permit. The permit requires the City of Washington to reduce phosphorus limits in its discharge to 1 part per million. The current phosphorus levels range from 4 parts per million to 15 parts per million, and the average is 7 parts per million to 9 parts per million. So as you can tell, we're here, there is an issue currently there. To achieve this, a new chemical feed must be installed. The facility will include the chemical storage and pumps and must be housed in the building to prevent the freezing of the equipment in the winter months for proper operation of the facilities. The new building will be ADA compliant, which the current building is not. The estimated total cost of the proposed project is approximately $2 million. The grant amount being requested is $700,000, and the local match will be $1.3 million. And the local match will come from revenue bonds. The estimated cost will include the construction costs, the engineering and inspection costs, administration, labor standards, environmental review, requirement fees, legal and bond council fees. Now, displacement will occur as a result of the project. And at this time, I'd like to open the public hearing up for any comments or concerns. Steve, I didn't know if you wanted to.
No, I'm Scott Rainey, wastewater guy. The only guy that's going to have to live with all of this is about 7 years ago or so, there, history wise, we found out that this was coming down the road. And approximately a year ago, it actually got put in our NDS permit where we're required to accommodate phosphorus removal. It's something that we don't have any choice on. We're going to do it. IDM and the state and the federal government said you're going to do it the way to go. We're going to make every effort to make this cost zero. That's just the rough numbers she gave you. We're hoping it's going to be south of that, not north of that, as far as cost-wise. We'll make every effort to be as affordable and as cheap as we can possibly make it, yet, you know, be quality construction. But, you know, the chemical we're going to use, there's two methods you can do. You can do chemical-wise or you can do it treatment-wise. We don't have room to build treatment, so we're going to do it chemical. And to do that, it's just a matter of us getting that set up. The chemical we're using can't freeze, so it has to be in a heated building, and we're going to have enough to run us at least for volume-wise for at least a week, so it's going to take us about, we're going to run about 200 gallons a day, so you can imagine the numbers we're going to need enough to have us to where we don't run an house, we're going to melt for about 20,000 gallons worth of storage. We're always going to have some on hand should the truck break down, or maybe we'll get one for a week, so all those things, but anyway, that's that's about as much as I can fill you in more than what you already said. $700,000 will go a long way towards paying that bill, keeping our rates down. That's the goal here.
Why is phosphorus there, and how did it get there?
Well, two ways. Phosphorus is on a small amount already in the natural water that comes out of our aquifer. That's already there somewhat, about 0.2 parts of it, phosphorus-wise, there. The rest of it comes from all the cleaners we use, the shampoos, the laundry detergents, and any type of cleaning agent has phosphorus in it. So that's how we get all the rest of it.
Okay.
So that's a quick and short answer there for that.
I appreciate that.
Plus lawn fertilizer.
What's that?
Plus lawn and
yeah,
farm fertilizer.
Fertilizer is anything that in our catch basin for CSO community, so if it gets in there in the street or down the drain at your house, it's, and most everything has phosphorus in it nowadays. So.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it years ago, and now it's finally getting to a requirement, huh?
Do you know what the monthly cost on the chemical would be?
Roughly speaking, we're going to be looking somewhere close to $10,000 a month just for the chemical operation. Well, that's, let me just rephrase that. About $10,000 a month for operations plus the chemical. We're not adding any staff to take care of this. It's just a matter of take care of the equipment. So approximately $10,000 a month to take care of the operation.
The $10,000 includes the chemical.
Includes the chemical, yes.
$10,000 already doing the testing.
We've already got the jar testing. That's just a way to determine what we're going to do and how we're going to get there as far as the chemical and the volume. That's where that we're hoping. See, these are all rough numbers. We actually start doing it in a trial basis. We're hoping our high is 200 gallons a day, but it may be as low as 120, depending on, because it's going to fluctuate depending on how much volume of phosphorus they have coming in. So that's our high is 200 that we're looking at, and a low of 120. So it's going to be somewhere in that range per day, gallon-wise. So that helps. But if it's 200, it's going to be somewhere right about 10,000 or less.
But as far as your operation costs, you're doing testing now, so you aren't going to have any additional testing.
We'll do more, but that's already a built-in number. Our test, our lab runs 7 days a week, so it's the testing part of it is pretty much there. We know the chemical we're going to use. We know all the bits and pieces. Just a matter of Midwestern or their contract to put all that together for us. I mean, that's where we're at right now, just getting the nuts and bolts put all together. So
will your budget cover this, or are we going to have to raise it?
Well, the $700,000 is going to...
I'm talking about the chemical use. I'm not talking...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, in my opinion, we should be okay with that, long as all the parts go together. But, you know, it's obvious that we're going to have to do some rate, because we've got all these other things already on our plate that we're coming up right now. This is just the third one. We've got three moving parts in our department now, as far as monies go, so... Yeah, it's hard not to change the rates, though, to be honest with you. Then we got Business 50, we got the phosphorus, and we got the, what's the other one? One other thing.
Well, Business 50 is already in the last.
Yeah, we already have money coming in for that. There's something else that I can't think of.
Would it be your building for your...
our equipment? No, that's already paid for. We already have that paid for. Yeah, I don't know. It's something that I'm thinking, but maybe it's just me.
So the only other question I have is, as far as this chemical goes, is it tried and true, or 5 or 10 years is the government going to say you can't do that any longer?
Well, I can't speak for the government. The chemical we're using is a synthetic blend. It's the go-to.
But I'm saying other towns, city, states.
Oh no, this is every NPS permit, wastewater permit in the state of Indiana will have phosphorus removal limits. Yes, everyone. This affects every permit in the whole state.
And a large portion of those are going to be using chemical, just like we are.
Yeah.
That was my point, because you know how the state is. We get,
unless you're one of the lucky ones.
I guarantee there's going to be some change.
Yeah,
those are going to get rid of that chemical.
Yeah.
5 years, they'll find out that chemical's polluting the water, so now we got to put the chemicals to take that chemical out. Seems to be the way it works. Okay?
Thank you, Scott. Does anybody else have any comments or concerns before I close the public hearing? The proposal, the first part of the the application. The proposal itself is due October the 4th, and then a full application would be due November the 22nd. And I believe awards are supposed to be made sometime in January on this round of funding.
So oh, I thought they were going to be at the end of November. The awards.
The application goes in at the end of November, so it'll be
so it's going to get a little real hectic come January because we also won't know the amount of any bond issue or any other financing until then, will we? January, February is going to get... Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. Anything else on that?
If not, I will close the area at 6:40.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Okay, second public hearing concerns the City of Washington's 2020 budget, which was advertised. When was that? Do you know the date on that? Beth, do you know when that was advertised, right?
It was advertised on the
13th of September. Yeah, just as a comparison, last year our 2019 advertised rate was 2.185 and the actual rate came in at 1.896. So I would estimate that this year's 2020's rate should be under 2 someplace.
Usually the year before it was 1.90.
So it's running about 1.9, something like that, each year. Okay, any comments on the budget as advertised? We will be introducing the budget ordinance at our regular meeting shortly. So I'll adjourn public hearing 2, call the public meeting, or public hearing number 3 to order, and that concerns the Washington Carnegie Public Library 2020 budget. And that was advertised the same day, correct? September 13th. And again, that rate is probably subject to a slight change once the assessed values come in for the library district, right? I'm presuming. Does your budget, your actual tax rate come in probably a little bit less than? Yeah. Right. Okay. Any questions on that budget? Okay. Not, I will adjourn public hearing number 3. Okay, and I will call to order the September 23rd, 2019 meeting of the Common Council of the City of Washington. Now, this past week, we unfortunately buried a longtime city employee, our assistant electric superintendent, Dan Bennett. We had a very good turnout of a lot of the city employees. I would ask for a moment of silence for his family and friends and for all of our veterans serving us. Thank you. Mr. President, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I just noticed that.
Here.
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 Okay, so we have everyone here. We have a quorum. First item of business is approval of the minutes, September 9th, and the public hearing that was held that day. Hope you all have them, because that's not it. I've seen them, but I don't have them in my packet. But did you all have them? Do I have any corrections or additions to those? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Dahl, second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes and the record of the public hearing are approved. Claims were in your packet. Questions on those?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, claims. Questions? Comments? If not, I would entertain a motion to send those to the Board of Public Works.
So.
Motion by Councilman Singleton.
Second.
Second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Michelle, under comments from the public, we have a couple of items. Michelle also is here for a PACE project update, so, and draw requests. So I'll turn it back over to you, Michelle.
Key Construction is contracted with PACE to do the PACE Head Start building. They're coming along really well on the building. If anybody's coming by there, kind of hard to see because it's behind the existing bed. It is. They're really going at it now. Plans are to have it done at the beginning of December now. The fifth pay application was for $196,179.75. Of that, we're looking at doing a grant request of $130,547.50. And then PACE will pay the remainder of the $65,632.25 of that pay request. So I have that draw for signing tonight. Basically, on this pay request, there was a lot of the electrical and plumbing. They also started the drywall and finished. I think the final building concrete was on this pay request. They have the glass in now. They've even started some painting. All the decoration well looks like it's being finalized. And
good.
And if you'd like to see if there's a motion to sign or to sign.
Okay.
That's the bottom left.
So we have a motion to approve the claim. Let's see. What's it? The total is this 238 or the two?
That's
130,000. 238 is the total. 130,547. Could I have a motion to approve that claim?
So
I can't. Okay. Motion by Councilman Chambers, second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
The other item I had regarding the PACE project is I had mentioned previously that we were probably going to be looking at a grant modification to extend the end date on the grant due to a couple of issues or conditions early on at the project. There was some soil conditions that slowed things down just a little bit, and then also we had that rain that wouldn't stop for them to go to do the footers and foundation and so forth. So they really have picked it up in getting started late and really keeping it pretty much on schedule. But we need a little bit of an extension to make sure it's complete and we can close out the grant. The current end date is October 31st. So what we're looking at is requesting a 90-day extension at the end of January. That way, hopefully, everything's taken care of. We can do the final drawing and close out the grant process. I drafted up a letter, and the mayor has taken a look at that and has signed that for us, but I did want to bring that up in front of the council tonight. That's what we're looking at doing on the PACE project.
Do you need a motion by this council to approve that extension or not?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Wanted to bring it up.
But you still think they may be done in December, what it sounds like.
It sounds like the very beginning of December is when I'm paying.
Okay.
On schedule that day.
Okay. Great.
I do have one other quick item that Matt has given me in regards to the grant application for the wastewater phosphorus project, along with the public hearing tonight. And that is called a four-factor analysis. It's for limited English proficiency persons. It's a plan that sometimes has to be done. Currently, right now, Davis County is still under 5% for LAP or limited English proficiency. And so it's not necessary to do an LAP plan, but this documentation is required in the grant application stating that that's the case. You know, it still is good for the city to offer anyone that wants any translation done or anything during public hearings or anything public to be able to assist with that. So, I'm giving you that sign tonight by the mayor for the proposal.
Okay.
It's on this last page.
Not that dated today here. You'll date it. It's on the 24th, right?
23rd of that.
Okay.
I think that's
it? Okay, great. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your help on everything. Okay, not on the agenda, but we talked about it earlier, but Don Spillman, on behalf of Board of Zoning Appeals, wants to explain something that's in process that you'll probably see at our next meeting.
Over the last several years, one of the things that's been coming to the Board of Zoning Appeals deals with properties in the older section of town where the properties are smaller than current standards allow, which means that our current building standards, remodeling standards, as far as setbacks and things like that are concerned, all need variances. Invariably, when they come to us with setback variances based on fact that they're on these smaller lots that were planted 120, 130 years ago, we've simply said yes. As Board of Zoning Appeals, we thought, you know, that was a wasted effort on the people to come here. It was a waste of their money just to have us go yes. So we passed a resolution that basically gave the building commissioner the authority to waive the hearing, to grant a variance for properties in those older sections of town, as long as the property would not extend to the street any further than the residences along the line or the old footprint of the buildings. We thought that was better for the people. Better for people who are trying to improve residences, better for people who are taking vacant properties and trying to put a house or residence on them. And so we unanimously approved that resolution a couple meetings ago, and I think it'll be up before you guys next meeting. So there's just, are there any questions about that?
When you do a variance, Don, are they recorded?
Pardon?
Are variances recorded since they kind of go with the land?
Yeah, the variances go with the land.
So this letter ought to be too?
Yeah.
I would think.
It would have to, you know, because these...
It's part of the title now.
It's sort of the grandfather thing. So, yeah, it would have to be recorded. that it would just be at the building commissioner's office.
Right, okay.
Now, if there were extended situations where other variants were needed, they would still have to come to us. But just if things were basically historic.
I just want to make sure that the public record is complete.
Yeah, because those variances, you're right, they go forever.
Right.
And they're not conditional use, they go forever.
Okay.
So would that be a document that would be recorded?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
For each property then?
Yeah, because if some title searcher got in there and said, well, we're not going to loan money because it's violating the setbacks, you need something of record to help them out.
Yeah, the documentation would be the same as.
And I think that.
But the only question
we have is. It could be just like a little affidavit, couldn't it, Tim?
Yeah.
Are these discrete neighborhoods where you could consider a different zoning classification?
Well, that'd be up to you guys. I mean, we don't have the right to do that.
But they're in discrete neighborhoods or subdivisions have been platted.
These would be areas that were probably platted prior to 1950. And some of the lots are exceedingly small, and if you go through parts of town, you can see where houses are this far apart. Garages are built right up next to the alley. You know, they're limited.
Right.
So, yeah, it would be parts of town, but I don't know whether you'd want to get into.
But that'd be a lot less bookkeeping.
And it might be, yeah.
You change the zoning ordinance, change the zoning classification.
But you're still going to have to,
You'd set new setbacks for.
Yeah.
And that'd be tied to historic or neighborhood standards.
Just like, yeah.
I mean, that is another step that you guys have to take.
Understand.
We're just trying to solve the problem the way that we have it now, and we thought this was the best.
Yeah, it could be done, but I think David's point is worth consideration.
But the areas that we're looking at would be, the historic, what I call the historic parts of town.
Yeah, I guess the question would be if you can specifically identify which neighborhoods or which parcels or which.
So that discrete and not just individual lots.
Yeah, you say they're subdivisions or some of them meets and bounds or you get everything probably.
They're subdivisions that existed in 1860. The last case we had was out on West Walnut where they wanted to remodel a house and the setbacks would actually set it back past the other houses on the street and bringing it up, which was basically in violation of current ordinances, current setback standards, just made more sense. And we figured that the building commissioner just sort of bless that on the phone and not have to come to a zoning board meeting and not have to cost you $50.
So what do you get? Ten a year, 20 a year, more? What are we talking about, Don?
Yes, and
10 to 20?
Easy. Probably at least 10, 15.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about setbacks in front of the property, but also the side setbacks and the rear setback. I mean, you're talking about
if it's
all four directions.
Minimum building size, too?
Pardon?
Minimum building size.
The minimum building size would be affected, sometimes the street frontage, we require 60-foot street frontage now, and some of those lots are
30 feet.
50 feet, 40 feet.
Just by the setbacks?
So, there's some things.
One we did was just setbacks, I think.
Basically what we were talking about, setbacks. Anything else?
So we could do a setbacks, a blanket. For now, setbacks, but then if you wanted to also look at building house size, then you really would probably get into zoning questions.
We don't have so much on building size. Those things tend to shake themselves out.
Yeah, I think that would still have to go through the ZBA.
That would come before us. The only thing we're really talking about is the setbacks. Because those have traditionally just been, well, yes, we're going for it, pass it on through. Save everybody a lot of time.
So that'll...
The builders, the homeowners, a little bit of extra, the state of...
Stay tuned, we'll bring that up. That'll be our next meeting to be voted on. Okay, anything else to come up before the meeting from the public, before we get into resolutions and ordinances? Okay. Hearing none, resolution, we have a reading of resolution 12-2019. Could I have a motion to read that?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Seidbaum, second by Councilman Dahl to read resolution 12-2019. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution number 12-2019, transfer that the Common Council contemplating the meeting of certain emergencies does hereby consider and determine to expend and to transfer certain funds from one major classification of the published budget of said city of Washington for 2019 to another major classification, the Fund 101-020 General Fund City Hall, from Section 460 Repairs and Maintenance $1,200 to Section 690, Other Capital Improvements $1,200, total transfer of $1,200. This resolution shall be in force and effect from and after its passage, passing council this 23rd day of September.
Is this for the workout, huh? Is that what that was for?
For the new bench. That's the bus call about in front of the...
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, that can you say it again? Oh. The 1200, what did you say that was for?
The new bench that's out in front of City Hall for the bus stop.
Any questions? Because it's a, I guess, a capital, a piece of furniture, it's not a repair and maintenance, it's a capital improvement, so that's why we have to make the transfer. Could I have a motion to approve that transfer then?
Second.
Motion by Councilman Seidbaum, second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we have some ordinances. First is 21-2019, second reading. Could I have a motion to read that ordinance?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Brown, second by Councilman Sidebottom. Title only, all in favor. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Tim.
Ordinance number 21-2019, an ordinance vacating a certain public way, namely a portion of Florence Street.
Any questions on that? Another would entertain a motion to approve that ordinance.
So moved.
Councilman Dahl moved. Councilman Chambers seconded.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Hampton?
Aye.
Chambers?
Yes.
Dahl?
Aye.
Decker?
Aye.
Sidebottom?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay, that motion passed, I believe, unanimously. And it will go into effect then, as soon as I sign it. Next is introduction of Ordinance 22-2019, Budget Ordinance. Do I have a motion to read that ordinance?
Second.
Motion by Councilman Seidbaum, a second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Tim?
Ordinance number 22-2019, Ordinance for Appropriations and Tax Rates. Be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington that for the expenses of Washington Civil City for the year ending December 31, 2020, the sums herein specified are approved, appropriated, and ordered set apart out of the several funds herein named and for the purposes herein specified, subject
to the laws governing the same. Such sums herein appropriated shall be held to include all expenditures authorized to be made during the year, unless otherwise expressly stipulated and provided for by law. In addition, for the purposes of raising revenue to meet the necessary expenses of Washington Civil City, the property tax levies and property tax rates, as herein specified, are included herein. Budget Form 4B for all funds must be completed and submitted in the manner prescribed by the Department of Local Government Finance. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage and approval by the Common Council, City of Washington. Fund Code 0101, General, adopted budget $8,175,030, adopted tax levy $3,306,767, adopted tax rate 1.4701. Fund Code 104, Repair and Replacement, adopted budget $7,500, tax levy zero, tax rate zero. Fund Code 341, Fire Pension, adopted budget $173,000, adopted tax levy zero, adopted tax rate zero. Fund Number 0342, Police Pension, adopted budget $152,000, adopted tax levy zero, adopted tax rate zero. Fund Code 0706, Local Road and Street, adopted budget $40,000, adopted tax levy zero, adopted tax rate zero. Fund Code 0708, Motor Vehicle Highway, adopted budget $1,803,630, adopted tax levy $888,385, adopted tax rate 0.3950. Fund Code 1150, Continuing Education, adopted budget $8,000, tax levy zero, tax rate zero. Fund Code 1301, Park and Recreation, adopted budget $725,625, adopted tax levy $690,966, adopted tax rate 0.3072. Fund Code 2379, Cumulative Capital Improvement, Cigarette Tax, $26,000, adopted budget, zero tax levy, zero tax rate. Fund Code Number 2391, Cumulative Capital Development, adopted budget $175,000, adopted tax levy $125,000, tax rate 0.0556. Fund Code 2402, Economic Development, adopted budget $780,000, adopted tax levy zero, adopted tax rate zero. Fund Code 6301, Transportation, $233,550, adopted tax levy $49,355, tax rate 0.0219, adopted budget totals $12,299,335, adopted tax levy total $5,060,473, adopted tax rate total 2.2498. Home Rule Funds, Fund Code 9500, LOIT Special Distribution 0, 9501 TIF Southeast, $111,650, 9502 TIF Southwest, $357,350, 9403 TIF I-69, $153,150, total adopted budget $622,150.
Questions? Okay. Hearing none, that will be up for second reading and adoption at our next meeting.
I do have a question.
Okay.
At some point, Beth, do the funds for the police and fire pension go away, or are those ongoing, or is it just for guys that have been on the department for a long time, Dave? Or
the only ones that's going to go away is the old plan, our old pension plan that we have three guys on the fire department on. It will go away someday.
Okay, is that reflected in this then?
I'm not sure,
because there's no tax implications or anything like that, and I figured it was for some long-serving firemen, right?
Yes, the ones that was on the old plan prior to 77. Okay. 1977.
All right. So at some point we won't be looking at those classifications anymore.
And those funds come from the state, not from the local tax, right?
Correct.
They come, the funds for that, to make up that budget, come from the state. That's why it's not included in our tax rate.
These are the ones under the old plan.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought. I sort of remember that when I was city attorney, and I knew one day they'd disappear.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same with police, I guess. There's just a few officers on there.
Die off. Once they die off.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Okay.
Long dog.
Next one is ordinance 23-2019. Could I have a motion to read that ordinance?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Chambers and second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Ordinance number 23-2019, ordinance for appropriations and tax rates. Be it ordained by the Common Council, City of Washington, that for the expense of Washington Carnegie Public Library for the year ending December 31, 2020, the sums herein specified are hereby appropriated and ordered set apart out of the several funds herein named, and for the purposes herein specified, subject to the laws governing the same. Excuse me. Such sums herein appropriated shall be held to include all expenditures authorized to be made during the year, unless otherwise expressly stipulated and provided for by law. In addition, for the purposes of raising revenue to meet the necessary expenses of Washington Carnegie Public Library, the property tax levies and property tax rates as herein specified are included herein. Budget Form 4B for all funds must be completed and submitted in the manner prescribed by the Department of Local Government Finance. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage and approval by the Common Council, City of Washington. Fund code 0061, fund name Rainy Day, adopted budget $50,000, no tax levy, no tax rate. Fund code 0101, general, adopted budget $468,315, adopted tax levy $332,274, the adopted tax rate 0.1517. Fund code 2011, library improvement reserve, adopted budget $25,000, adopted tax levy 0, adopted tax rate 0, adopted budget totals $543,315, adopted tax levy $332,274, adopted tax rate 0.1517.
Any questions on that?
Again, we're only doing this year because of the mess up on the computer system.
Last year, yeah. This will be the only time we'll need to do this year, right? Am I correct on that, Beth?
Yes, yeah. I understand, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Did they fix the problem?
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Okay. That'll be up for adoption next meeting also. And then we have ordinance 24-2019 on some rezoning. Do I have a motion to read that one?
So moved.
A motion by Councilman Sidebottom and a second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Tim?
Ordinance number 24-2019, an ordinance to rezone certain real estate along the Highway 50 bypass. Whereas Michael E. Boyd owns land situated along the Highway 50 bypass, adjacent to 1987 Troy Road, and whereas Michael E. Boyd has petitioned the City Plan Commission to rezone approximately 47.17 acres of land at this location from R3 to C4, and whereas the Washington City Plan Commission has recommended the rezoning of the land in question from R3 to C4, and whereas the legal description of the land in question is identified in the attached Exhibit 1, and whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana finds that the parcels in question would be more appropriately used as commercial for. Be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, as follows. Section 1, that the approximately 47.17 acres identified in the attached Exhibit 1 shall be rezoned as commercial for. Section 2, that the Washington Code of Ordinances is hereby amended in conformity with the terms of this ordinance, and the future land use described in the 2009 City of Washington Comprehensive Plan for said property is hereby amended to commercial for. Section 3, this ordinance shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage by the Common Council of the City of Washington, and the approval of the mayor of the city of Washington. Passed by the common council of the city of Washington, Davies County, Indiana, this blank day of blank, 2019.
Okay, I think we have some folks representing Boyd's to just tell us. I know you've been through this with the Plan Commission, so.
Thank you. I'm Casey Eichhardt with Boyd & Company. We are a logistics company via trucking and brokerage, as well as construction operating at 1987 Road. Requesting a rezone for the property to the south of us in order to accompany a customer that we have right now. I can say the name. It's UE Store, UE Solar. It will be a five-year project directly behind our current building, 1584 Troy is going to be the road address there. And then in the future, this will be rezoned to bring in future business in the logistics industry. We're working on some warehousing contracts as well as a couple packaging contracts, so this could bring in several other businesses behind us. Which we would likely be the ones managing and running these businesses. So that's the reason for the request to make. So.
And for the initial customer, it's going to be outside storage of material for the solar.
10 acres, 8.5 to 10 acres, about those.
Okay. I know the Plan Commission's been looked at this before, also, and
I was not at that meeting, so I'll have to defer to Don.
Were you there, Tim?
I was not.
Oh, no. Plan Commission didn't have any problems with it, right?
Plan Commission had no trouble with it. I passed it. That was all voted in.
Okay.
So it's just the parcel that's south of where you guys are. It doesn't go all the way over to 57 because that's different, right?
Correct.
Just,
okay.
So everything will still be coming off of Troy Road? Then?
Correct. Using the existing route.
Sorry. Yeah. You said it'd be that second drive, the south drive.
Two drives, so it'd be the second drive.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Initially, he was looking at coming to the BZA for a variance, and we suggested that he come for a rezone because with the conditions of that intersection, and that whole area right in there has basically become commercial, and it would be more in keeping with the characteristics of that area now for it to be a C4 rather than an R3. We don't see that ever being a residential area.
They talked about one of them. Neighbors had no issues, I guess.
Neighbors didn't have any issues with it.
Yeah,
right.
We had one neighbor that was complaining about maybe some dust, but I think Casey's talking about concrete in that driveway anyway. So, but if not, we made a stipulation in the conditional use where every other month we're going to treat that log supplementing dust.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any other questions for Casey or about the project? Okay, that ordinance will be up for second reading and adoption at our meeting on October 15th then. Okay, a couple of other business items. This one's very important. This is designating a date and time for trick-or-treating in the city. And I got a note here from Debbie, October 31st. Halloween is on Tuesday, so the Thursday, October 31st, from 5 to 8:30. I don't remember if we take a vote on that or if we just designate it, but any problems with that? Any
have?
Okay. We'll claim that as the by unanimous consent. How's that? Okay. So it'll be October 31st, 5 to 8:30 p.m., and then next meeting, our first meeting in October would fall on Monday the 14th. That's a holiday, so our custom has been to move it to Tuesday evening. So if you show up here on Monday evening, you'll be the only one here. So the meeting will be Tuesday, October 15th. Okay? And just a few other announcements under miscellaneous. Our final Food Truck Tuesday is tomorrow evening at 5:00 at Eastside Park. And a special guest and a few presentations will be made to Trevin R. Alford, our kids baking champion that was on the Food Network. And then at our next council meeting on the 15th, Trevin will also be here as my special guest, and I've got a special presentation planned for him to recognize the publicity and the notoriety he's brought to Washington, Indiana with his win and his time on TV. I don't know. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow evening about that he ought to bring us some cupcakes or something. I'll put a bug in his ear for that. Two other festivals going on this Saturday from 2 to 10 p.m. on Main Street is the Chambers Wine and Beer Fest. The following Saturday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. is their Stone Soup Party. Next month in October is Fire Prevention Month, and the fire department's going to be making presentations at all the elementary schools, which they do every year. I'm sure that if any of you would like to go along, Dave can give you or Debbie can give you the schedule if you want to watch one of those presentations that, I don't know, you're doing a couple of weeks, I think.
Just during that 1 week.
But they're all in that 1 week. Yeah. I've got the dates in there. I don't know. Okay. And then paving in the city is going to resume Wednesday. We have been promised that Milestone will be here to do the start the community crossings paving. They're going to do the other streets in the city that are in the community crossings project, and they're going to do the roundabout last because they're going to mill everything and then pave it. So they're going to kind of start on the west end and come this way and then mill the roundabout one day and pave it the next, so that it is torn up as short a time as possible, but it will be a bear because when they're paving it, we're going to have to close the roundabout. I've talked to Aaron today and Brian, and they're working with the police department, will take care of that, but it's going to be a little bit of a mess for probably half to three-fourths of a day, but it's the only thing we can do to get it repaved. And then sometime in, quote-unquote, mid-October, E&B Paving has promised to return to finish the other paving projects around the city. So hopefully by the end of October, or maybe in the third week of October, we've got all our paving done for the year. So
when we mill that roundabout, are we going to fix the issue with the hole in the road?
The water bell?
The pothole.
Yes, that's all part of that project.
Because you're going to have to go deeper than just milling it, because
yeah,
it's all farm ground.
Yep.
Farm ground I farmed, and I've hit them holes, so I know.
Yeah. They're wet then.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't get me started, because I've been around and around and around with the state of Indiana on that thing. I think the thing was not completely built right in the first place, but they won't admit anything, so it's our problem.
I agree, too.
Also, the street department is going to, when E&B is here with their milling machine, they're going to mill Business 50 around Meridian Street, and we're going to repave it too. Even though that wasn't part of our original plan, but it's just in bad shape. We've got to do something with it even before we do the work next year on the whole west segment. So I think that's all I have. Mike, do you have anything for
this? Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
I've received two phone calls from a gentleman by the name of Bobby Deckard from Worthington, and he said it was okay to use his name. The Sunday of the car show, he inadvertently parked in a no parking zone. He admitted that was something stupid to do, and he got towed and got a ticket for that. And he has no problem, you know, with the ticket or anything, except the record service took his car out
to their lot and charged him over almost $400 to tow his pickup. And he thought that was excessive, and I do too. So he was wondering, and I was wondering, if the city could do some type of bidding process for the wrecker services in town, and they could set a price, you know, per tow, depending on the vehicle, of course. But the way the driver of the wrecker was treating Mr. Deckard was extremely non-professional, and it really looked bad, you know, put the city in a bad light. So I don't know. I know there's some other cities that has some type of bidding process, but then they told it Sunday would not allow him to pick up his car on Sunday, so he had to come back Monday to, you know, get his car out of hock, and they in turn charged him for an overnight rental fee for his car.
Wow.
So, needless to say, he was, for being upset, he was fine. You know, he was also being professional about it, and he was going to come tonight, but he had to work. So he said, jokingly, so I could get my money back for that $400 tow bill. So I don't know if that's, I'm just opening this up.
He's called the mayor's office, too. I didn't talk to him, but he left a message. Trent.
Treasurer's office, too.
And
treasurer's office.
Yeah. Trent and Todd and I have discussed that.
Yeah.
So what are the possibilities?
We're doing some research into it, and we're actually working on a plan.
Okay.
Did you not send the email? I got an email.
Yeah, I did send that. But
yeah.
So
are we on a rotation system? What do we do?
That's
the way it's normally been. So.
Unless someone asks for someone specific.
Yes, unless it's on a request, yes.
How many are on the rotation?
There's four.
Four.
Crannies, Tri-County, Countryside, and Brandon's.
And I guess it's fair to say two of those we've never had a problem with. The other two we do get occasional complaints.
Yeah, and I purposely didn't say the name of the record service.
I know, that's probably good.
So
the problem is you got, I'm not even going to go there.
I just wonder if you start putting a lot of stipulations on it, if anybody even bid.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. But you got to understand, their insurance is outrageous. So they do. What he charged was crazy. I seen that. I have a draft I was going to send to all of you, and I said, nah, I'm not going to send it, because it would have been very professional.
Yeah. He contacted several other cities, and he said the average were running about $135 per tow.
Out of the four we have, I think two of them will let you get stuff out of the car. The other two will not.
Yeah.
And if it's over, if it's after hours, you got to wait till tomorrow.
So.
And I don't agree with that.
Car seats and things like
that. If it's 24/7, it should be 24/7.
Yeah, we've had that issue too. That. Somebody wanted to get their medicine out of a car and they wouldn't let them. And so what we're discussing is either the city setting all the rules and the prices, or we set the minimum expectations and let them bid on it.
Just for toes, not wrecks, right? Because you can't set a price.
I presume it'd be toes only.
You can't set a price for a wreck. Because it might take a half hour, it might take 4 hours.
My personal preference would be to just set the rules and then let them bid on it. And whoever's a low bidder gets it. If we start setting prices, then you may get into...
I think it ought to be a true rotation.
It is a true rotation. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it rotates by week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
or month, week or month.
It's rotation, but you got two of them. I said I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going there now. You got two of them that's just like ambulance chasers. They want to just get there before everybody else. And then say, well, we're already here. You want us to go ahead and tow it? And that's what happens.
I don't think that happens, does it?
I haven't seen that. We have rotations, a calendar, it's set every month. By week, I believe.
By highway tow. When you use the word bidding, what are you referring to?
We used to have a lot more, I'll tell you that.
Well, you just say, here's what we expect. You tell us how much you'll charge for towing them and pickup and storage.
It is so outrageous.
Well, we could do that.
But you wouldn't just split out one.
Yeah, and then you would choose.
In order for you to be on our rotation, you have to do ABC.
Well, you could do it that way, too.
That I agree with. You want to be on our rotation, you have set a price. I just don't, I'm not comfortable with it.
You're not comfortable with the price. They would bid the price. They would bid the price. We wouldn't set it.
Why can't the city just contract with one individual for city codes only? Leave a rotation for wrecks.
That's what I think. I think that's what that would be. It'd only be city tows. It wouldn't be wrecks. It would just be city tows.
Right.
Yeah. Anytime the officer calls for blocking a driveway or parking illegally or in handicap or whatever, and they tow it, it'd just be city tows only. Yeah, I mean, someone called them individually, you know, it wouldn't be the same price as whatever they bid. I mean, they could charge whatever they want to them, but.
Yeah, I don't think we ought to be setting prices.
I don't either. And as far as bidding go, I just feel it would be wrong to, it'd be the Walmart effect. If you put it together and he low bids for, let's say, a year, everybody else drops out because they're not on the rotation anymore.
Well, the low bid's just for the local tow.
It's for city tow.
Not the wrecks. So the rotation will stay with the wrecks.
I got you.
And that's what I didn't understand on the email. That's why I did not respond.
We could do that. We could just bid out for city tows, but I mean, you've got a tow policy in the police department.
Right.
The trouble is enforcing it against private tow companies that may or may not be professional when they treat the customer.
Yeah, that's the problem. This guy was nasty to Mr. Decker. There's just so twice.
And I suppose we could. One of those requirements is that if you tow it on a Sunday, you have to be available to let them get it back on Sunday. I think I agree with Mr. Decker on that. If they tow it on Sunday, why can't they be there to let him get his car back?
Because they want that. They
know that's the reason. Yeah.
There also ought to be, my thought too on those specifications is that they have to let them get, their personal items out of there unless the police say they can't because it's a crime investigation.
I remember when I first came on, we would know. We had the 10-pound sheets, and we knew it was like $65 and $15 a day. And we'd have it filled out before they even got there. Now we have no idea.
Whatever they want to charge.
Right.
Because we also put like items that were in there, but
yeah,
we'd usually, most of us would usually let people get the stuff out there before they got there anyways.
If they're there.
Yeah, right. If they're not there. Oh, if the people are there, yeah.
Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, but if they're in a ball game, they need to get their stuff to go home.
Yeah. Or they're drawing.
Yeah.
We'll work on that, Mike. We've been talking about it.
Notify Mr. Decker that we're working on a plan.
Yes.
And he will be through.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay. Sarah, do you have anything?
No.
Doug?
I don't know.
Tim, do you have anything?
I do not.
Alan?
I'm good.
Blake?
No, sir.
David?
I don't have anything.
Jerry?
I have nothing.
Beth, do you have anything? Anything else? Yeah, Randy.
I just want to say thank you from our department for allowing us to grant the family of Dan's wishes of having him in the truck for one last ride and for us being able to know my son.
It was nice having the line truck and his pickup truck in front of church.
Yep.
I see another hand somewhere. Yeah.
must have been later, when, I guess, when you guys voted on that Horn Street, vacating Horn Street?
Yes.
And I was wondering, what would my next move be? Because I've never done it.
Well, I mean, obviously, it was approved, right?
Yes.
That was the first one.
Yes.
I was getting confused. We got two going now. I mean, it will be recorded, and basically the ownership of it reverts to you.
All right. The reason I'm asking is because the lady behind me, I can't remember her name, I don't forget his name. There's a fence that's on that property, and I don't know if it's her fence or not, but that fence would have to be moved. So can I go ahead and move it?
I would suggest you talk to her first. But yes, I mean, it appears to me, I haven't been down there and walked it. I don't know where your property line is, so I'm not going to go out on a limb on that. But assuming that's within the confines of the legal description, yeah, you should be able to move it, but I would certainly talk with her first.
All right, would it be my responsibility to move it or hers?
It's yours.
To pay for it?
Yeah, to remove it, yes.
And I just paid for my roof
that
her tree fell on my
ground. Is that split?
That was not, see.
Okay. He gets the whole
yeah, thing. Yeah, he'll pay it all goes to him.
The treasurer's office for the advertising and the paper.
Yeah, I was just asking.
The certified letter and the recording fee for the coins.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And do remember that there's a utility easement through the middle of that, so don't go put a $250,000 house on the middle of it. In case we ever got to dig up the sewer. Okay, anything else? I would entertain a motion to adjourn then.
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Seidbaum, second by Councilman. Motion and second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Board of Public Works in 5 minutes.
So I've got a meeting here scheduled October the 14th to be determined. I think that a time for Highway 50 meeting?
No, that's the 16th, I believe.
16th, yeah. Right.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
What time?
Six, it's at the community building. Inside community building.